Morning to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, and we wish to take as our text, verse 21. And this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Can I first of all wish you all a very happy new year, not only on behalf of myself, but also on behalf of Katrina and the family, wishing you all that is good for the year that is to come. When we come to a time of new year, it's a time when you reflect back on a past year. And some people will be able to reflect back and say that they've had a good 2020. Others may look back and say that it was a trying year, a difficult year for them. It's a time when you might even go back yourself and identify years that were good years in your experience and other years where you can say, well, these are years that I would rather forget because they brought you difficulty. I think if you look on it from a spiritual point of view and from the church's point of view, the way Jeremiah here looks upon things from the church's point of view, I think we can say the last year has been a very trying year indeed for the church. We see a year that in society, the moral standards of society continuing to fall away. Government being obsessed with sexual issues because a certain section of society is obsessed with same-sex marriage and transgender issues. It would appear that any other country that seeks to hold any moral standard must lower itself to having no moral standards as our nation is going, having no moral standards whatsoever. And that becomes the norm. And that's very disappointing so far, surely, as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. And when you come to Jeremiah, you discover that Jeremiah is different issues. But nevertheless, it's a very difficult time for the church in Jeremiah's day. We discover that Jerusalem has actually been destroyed. This Jerusalem has been destroyed, and God's people have been brought down into exile. And when you read through the beginning of Lamentation here that Jeremiah has written, in chapter 3, you see how the enemy mocks God's people. The enemy mocks God's people. We live in a day to day when the church is mocked, the gospel is mocked, God is mocked, Jesus Christ is mocked. Jeremiah knew exactly what that was like. Jeremiah knew what it was to be in difficult times. If you go to Jeremiah's prophecy, you discover that there are three things. First of all, he prophesies of the destruction of Jerusalem and that these days were coming. That as God's people, as the nation of Israel, turned its back upon God, so God would turn its back upon them. God would turn his back upon them. As they reject God, so God will reject them. And that will bring destruction upon the nation and upon the people. I think when you go to Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 11, where he speaks there about the Gentiles and the Jews, the Gentiles being grafted in to the stock. And in verse 11, when you come to verse 19, Paul there warns the Gentiles. Thou wilt say, then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. The Jews had rejected God by unbelief, and he rejects them, and he grafts in the Gentiles. And he says, you stand by faith. But be not high-minded, he says, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You see, the Gentiles can be cast off just as much as the Jews can be cast off. Jeremiah warned the Jews that their rejection of God would result in his rejection of them, and that would bring destruction. That was his prophecy. The second part of Jeremiah speaks about history. He witnesses this destruction that comes upon Jerusalem. He then witnesses the destruction of Jerusalem. He witnesses God's prophecies, God's word coming to pass. My friend, we may not live to see it, but our children and our children's children will live to see the destruction of our nation as it rejects God. So God is rejecting our nation, and that will bring destruction upon this nation. Jeremiah saw it. He saw it. He witnessed it. Now when you come to Lamentation, he sees the sorrow that he has over what he is seeing. He is lamenting what has happened to his nation. My friend, do you not lament today what is happening in our nation? As we come to the beginning of another year, do you not lament when you see our nation falling away from moral standards, spiritual standards? Does it not concern you? It concerned, and it was brought Jeremiah to weep. And that tells us two things. It tells us two things. Jeremiah was warning the nation of Israel, not because he hated Israel, not because he despised the people. He warned them because he loved the people. He warned them because he was seeking their best interests. And now he is sorrowing because they never listened. My friend, when we stand and speak the gospel, and when we speak out against all that is going on in our nation, it is not because we hate our nation, it is because we seek the best for our nation. And it causes us sorrow to see these things being paraded, not only whatever people want to do themselves, but young people having their minds polluted with these things. It's not because we hate these people, it is because we have a concern for our nation. And you see that in the sorrow that Jeremiah now has as he witnesses what's going on. But that brings us to Jeremiah himself. And there are two things that I simply want to bring before you here today, because you see the situation that Jeremiah finds himself in. And there may be God's people today in the same sort of situation. Maybe not even over the church. Maybe even over the providence that's come your way. Providence that may come very suddenly. It may trouble you. It may disturb you. It disturbed Jeremiah. Let's look then at two things. First of all, his feelings. And secondly, the facts. That is what we need to look at today. His feelings. And secondly, the facts. Let's look at his feelings. Jeremiah, we begin, it says in verse 1, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Jeremiah is a man of like passions as we are. Jeremiah was a great prophet, but he was a man. And he felt these things that were going on in his day. And look at how Jeremiah, where he had been brought down to. Can I just mention three or four of them? He was brought down into darkness. This is a dark place that Jeremiah has been brought into. You see that in verse 2. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Verse 6. He hath set me in dark places. as they that be dead of old. Jeremiah, with the whole situation, has been brought down into a dark place. It's as though it's in the middle of the night. That's where he's been brought. My friend, have you ever been brought yourself down into a dark place? Providence has brought you to a dark place. You might look over the past year and it's been all light. It's been a wonderful year. But there are those who will look back on the past year and they're brought down into darkness. There are those that are maybe coming into the new year and it's as though they're in darkness, as if they're surrounded by darkness. There doesn't seem to be any light there. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. That's what we speak of, isn't it? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. He's been brought into a place of darkness. Reminds me, just in passing, I'll say them as I'm passing. You go to the cross, what do you find? 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness. We are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ himself knew what it was to be a man with like passions as ourselves, yet without sin. But yet he took upon himself our nature. And he knew what it was to go down into that darkness. Jeremiah has been brought into a place of darkness. But look at secondly, accompanying this darkness is that God is against him. Look at the, surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. It's as though in verse 12 he says, he has bent his bow and set me at a mark for the arrows. The arrows are coming at him. It's as though God is against him. My friend, have you ever felt that God is against the church? God is against you. That providence is against you. Providence is against God's people. Jeremiah was brought down into that place as though God had become his enemy. The one who was his friend is now turned against him. Once again, we come, do we not, to Calvary. And we see not only the darkness, but we see the wrath of God being poured out upon the Son of his righteousness. Him who has been made to be sin, who knew no sin, has now been made the wrath of God. It's been poured out upon him. God's righteousness is against him. God's righteousness, God's holiness. So much so that he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jeremiah knew what it was to be in that place. But also he had sorrow, affliction, and misery. Look at verse 5. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. Gall is that bitter drink that he had to drink, the bitterness of gall. Later on he speaks about wormwood, the same thing. He's having to drink this bitter gall, this bitter drink. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they not give him that to drink when he was at the cross? And you know, in all of this, there's no escape. Imagine this great prophet Jeremiah being brought to the place where he's in darkness. It's as if God is against him. He's in sore affliction and in misery. And there is no way out. There's no place of escape. Verse 7, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chains heavy. He hath enclosed my way with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Verse 9. It says, no, there is no way out. My friend, have you ever been brought to that place? You're in a dark place, and as though God is against you in sorrow and affliction and misery, and there is no way out of it. So you're in this dark wood, dark forest, surrounded by hewn stone. And there's no escape. But not only that, Jeremiah discovered what it was that he became the derision of his people. Think of the Lord Jesus. There is no sorrow like unto my sorrow. And think of how he became the derision of the people. They spat upon him. Wonderful today, you come to a new year and you have the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. Because he knew what it was to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Jeremiah became the derision of his people. Bitterness was there. And he had no peace. Look what it says here. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. He had no peace. My friend, if you come to the beginning of another year and providence has dealt with you in such a way that you have no peace, you may even look at the church, look at the situation as God's people should do, and you discover that it brings you down. You've no peace. Where is the prosperity? What do we learn from all this? We learn that this is the place that feelings will take you. This is the place that feelings will bring. You think of Elijah under the juniper tree. He was feeling very down. There he was under the juniper tree. He looked at God's cause and there was hardly anybody with him. He alone was standing. He alone was the one that was standing for the truth. And when he began to think upon these things and he thought about Jezebel and Ahab and all that, it brought him down. Such that he sat under the juniper tree. You see, that's where your feelings will take you. That's where you will go. But remember this, just in once again in passing, the Lord Jesus Christ himself knows how to succor his people. Because we have a great high priest who has entered into the holy place, not made with hands. He is man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he knew what it was to go to Calvary. And in going to Calvary, he tasted of death and of sorrow that we might know joy. That we might know joy. That we might know. He went into the darkness that we might know the light. He went into the bitterness of the gall that we may know the sweetness of the taste of salvation. That's the feelings. That's where the feelings of Jeremiah took him. That's where the feelings of Elijah took him. My friend, that's where our feelings will take us. But let's now come to the facts. If that's the feelings, let's look up at the facts. Where is the answer? When you are cast down in the darkness, as you enter into another year, what is it? What is the answer to the darkness? What is the answer to the feelings? It's the facts. It's the facts. The world comes up with the wrong answers, you see. The world says, let's go and sit beside Jeremiah and let's try and comfort him some way. Try to reach out to him and show him that, well, we all suffer these things. It invents for itself its own answers. But that is never the answer that the Bible gives. That's never the answer the Bible gives. The Bible never allows Jeremiah or Elijah to wallow in his own self-pity. Think of Elijah. When the Lord came to Elijah, he said to Elijah, Elijah, why are you sitting here? What are you doing? Get up and have something to eat. I'll even get the ravens to feed you. and then come and I'll show you something. And he showed him the still small voice. He revealed to Elijah something of the glory of the gospel. My friend, that's the answer. The Bible brings you the answer. Think of Jeremiah now. What is it that brings Jeremiah out of the pit of his trials and tribulations? What is it that brings him out? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. How wonderful. The Word of God. You know, when you come to Lamentations, it's as though Lamentations is telling you, in the midst of a confused world, there is order in the Word of God. You come to Lamentations, the first four chapters of Lamentations, including this one, this chapter, every single verse, from verse 1 to the last verse of the chapter, it begins with the letters of the alphabet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Vav. Wow, write down every alphabet, letter of the alphabet, every verse begins with. You can't see that in English. If you go to the Hebrew, you will discover that every single verse, and it begins at Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Vav. Wow, Zayin, Hey, Yod. Every single alphabet letter, there it is. And in chapter 3, it's three times Aleph. Beginning, verse 1 begins with the letter Aleph. 2, Aleph. 3, Aleph. Verse 4, Bet, Bet. 5, Bet. 6, Bet. Right the way down. And all four chapters of Lamentation has that sequence. It's as though, even as Jeremiah writes, he's being shown that in a world of disorder, there is order in the Word of God. That's the answer. That's where we find the answer to all these things, isn't it? It's the Word of God. The Bible. The wonderful we have at the beginning of another year. For all the things that we've had. For all the things that we've experienced in the life, the short lifetime that we've all lived. At the beginning of 2023, we have the most wonderful gift of all, the Bible. The Bible. God's word brings order in a world of disorder. It brings order out of disorder. And what do we find? This word brings us facts. Facts. If you look at Jeremiah, right up to verse 21, look at it all. I, the man, he laid me, I'm into darkness, he's against me, my flesh and my skin, he hath builded against me, he hath set me in darkness, he has hedged me about, he hath enclosed my ways, he was like a bear against me, he set his bow against me. Until you come to verse 21. And it changes. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is good unto them that wait upon him. See how now his whole vision has changed. That's why he says this. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Before this, he's no hope. Why? Because he's living off feelings. And when he lives off his feelings, he goes down into the depths. You see, the difficulty with feelings is this. Feelings depend upon providence. Providence changes, your feelings change. You have a good year, why? Because providence is good to you. And you feel good. But then something comes along, and all of a sudden it changes, and you now feel bad. You're changing all the time. And the second thing is, our feelings are from a fallen human nature. Man is fallen. His whole being is fallen. His will is fallen. His desires are fallen. His affections are fallen. His mind is fallen. His thoughts are fallen. That's why you need to be born again. That's why you need to be made a new creature. But even as a new creature, we still have fallen human nature there. And my friend, your feelings can be wrong. Elijah sat under the juniper tree and he had feelings that he was the only one there. Poor old Elijah. Let's sympathize with Elijah. My friend, what Elijah needed to do was to discover that his feelings were wrong. Our feelings take us and we're wrong. But when you come to the Word of God, that is the unchanging Word. You see that here. The Lord's mercies are not consumed because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercy, God's faithfulness does not change. Our feelings may change. Our view of the situation may change. But God does not change. His mercies do not change. His compassions do not change. His word does not change. What we need to do in the midst of a generation that is denying the gospel, this turning aside from the things that God has set before us, is to come back to God. Not to be going in what we see are just in feelings, but by faith to trust in the word of God. And you see, when that happened, something else happened. Jeremiah was humbled under God's mighty hand. See what he says in verse, when he comes, my soul hath set me in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 20. He's humbled. He is humbled. My friend, it's wonderful if God's providence humbles us. What should we be saying today with regards to what's going on in our nation? It should humble us. It should humble us before God. It should bring us to our knees before God. It should humble us in our soul. Jeremiah was humbled under God's hand. Think of how the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the providence that came his way, as he is the covenant head of his people, went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he saw the cup that he had to drink. He reviled from it because he was man. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we see providence going against us, or appearing from our point of view to be going against us, that would humble us. It ought to humble us, and it ought to make us to turn from our feelings to the truth, as it is in Jesus. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. We fail ourselves. The church will fail us. Ministers will fail us. Christians will fail us. Friends will fail us. Jesus Christ knew what it was to sit with one of his friends. He sat at his table with him, Judas Iscariot. He betrayed him. Jesus knew what it was for Judas to fail him. He knew what it was for Peter to fail him when he denied him with curses and oaths. But God never failed him. The Father never failed him. Jesus put his absolute trust in the Father. And it's when Jeremiah comes to turn away from how he feels to the solid rock of who God is that it revived his hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You see how Jeremiah now turns from feelings to facts. And it's the facts of who God is and what God has done in his Son. That ought to this day bring the soul that is in darkness, the soul that may go through difficult times. You may go through difficult times this year in your family life. You may go through difficult times in your work life. You may go through difficult times, and you may look at the church and see the difficult times that the church goes through. My friend, what's the answer to that? Is it to rest on our feelings? To let head hang down and hands hang down? And look as though we've no hope, my friend. Jeremiah, even when Jerusalem was destroyed, even when God's people were cast out into captivity, and when everything looked as though Jeremiah says, my hope has failed, but then he lifts his eyes up to the Lord. And he says, I look there, and there is my hope. There's my hope. Who God is. And what God has done. What do we then learn just in final? First of all, we need to learn day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, not to trust simply in our feelings. Distrust your feelings. But rather, come and trust God's promises. Who God is and the promises that he has given. The promise that the Lord Jesus Christ today, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto him. And all providence is at his command. Providence is given to us by a loving brother. Even as Joseph, as we've often said, when Benjamin found the cup in his sack and had to turn about and go back to Egypt, thinking to himself, the world has fallen apart, little did he know that the cup was placed there by a loving Joseph. And it would be for his benefit. So let's then read providence in the light of God's word. Not in the light of what we think. Not in the light of our feelings. But let us read providence in the light of the promises that God has given to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what is the promise? That his church will be there until the very end of time. It will be persecuted. The Antichrist will rise up against his church, will ostracize his church. You won't be saved today unless you are part of Mother Rome. If you are not part of Mother Rome, you will go to hell, my friend. What a blasphemy. The Bible tells you that. That you will be persecuted. The church will be persecuted. The church will be cast out, will be reviled. The Antichrist will rise up against her. But Christ will save his people. Not one whom the Father has given to the Son will ever be lost. But every single one of them of God's elect will be gathered in. And here's the promise. That although you come through the midst of a year of tears, this valley of tears, the day will come when all the tears will be taken away. When you will enter into glory and you will be with the Lord forever, and there will be no more tears, no more sea, no more storms, no more mockings, no more persecution. For God's people, as you enter into this year, you are one year closer to being with Jesus Christ, which is far better. For those who are not in Christ, you're one year nearer a lost eternity. You are one year nearer entering into hell. Let us therefore number our days. May this new year be the year in which you come to trust in Jesus Christ, his word. And it doesn't matter then what the world will throw at you. You can be like John Knox, standing with the Bible in your hand. Or you can be like the reformer. Here I stand. I can do none other. Let us therefore be blessed this day with the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray.